Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. This morning was the foundation for the home. Tonight, the maintenance of the home. And these are introductory, general overview type messages that if we will receive the rest of the details throughout the summer months, will all fall right into place. Amen. So in verse number 17, we read, 15 this morning, we read, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Verse 17, be not unwise. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine. What a sad thing that you have to tell saved people not to act like fools. And tell saved people not to be unwise. And to tell saved people to have a desire for the Holy Spirit, not for intoxicating spirits. And yet, it had to be said. What a sad thing you'd have to write to saved people and say, here's, you got two options, verse 1 and 2. Follow God as dear children. Or, verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, things not. Isn't it amazing that not just in our day, but back in the days when the letter was written to the church at Ephesus, you could have people who may or may not be saved, but they claim to be, attending a church where they're going to hear this letter and living just like people in the world by choice. We ought to make better choices. Better choices. Now the Bible says in verse 3, I want you, with Ephesians, I want you to get Hebrews chapter 13 just for a minute. Hebrews 13 and Genesis 1. Been nice to have been born 100 years earlier. I wouldn't have to say what I'm about to say, but things need to be explained nowadays. So Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Men are superior to animals. Amen. That's Bible. Yeah. And the more movies you watch and the more secular stuff you read and listen to, the more you're going to think that you ought to treat animals like people. Yeah. Go ahead. And they're not. They're to be dominated by man. They're to be used for our service. Then, 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image God created him, male and female created he them. So every man, every woman, every man, every woman is created by God in the image of God, and therefore we ought to have respect for and do our best to preserve all human life. So we're not for war and killing and murder and all that kind of stuff. And at the same time, we don't cause human beings to suffer, so gopher turtles don't. That's all just mixed up stuff. Notice also in verse 27 that God, everybody remember him? God made male and female, and that's it. I don't care how many boxes they give you to check on the form. That's the only two options. Male and female, and they're not negotiable. Now, a man can dress like a woman, act like a woman, but he's a man. And a woman dressed like a man, act like a man, but she's a woman. 28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So, God made a man, God made a woman, and he made that man, that woman, for being fruitful and multiplying, which means it couldn't be the original design of God to put two men together and two women together, because that would make it impossible to do what God assigned the man and the woman to do. Okay. Now, in Ephesians, I'm sorry, before we go to Ephesians, Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 and verse number 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. What secular music has done to you, I don't mean you, I'm speaking to the world large. What Hollywood entertainment and social media has done to people is caused them to refuse to believe that God will actually judge anyone for anything. But there are some things that God has said of a certainty He will judge. Whoremongers, that's people, and adulterers, that's people. Now, adultery is when you have a marriage partner, but you have physical relations with an additional partner. That's adultery. Whoremonger is when you have additional relations with multiple partners. This Saturday night I met him, that Saturday night I met her, and went online and met somebody else. Whoremonger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then in Ephesians chapter number 5, but fornication. And that's getting into the Hebrews 13:4. That's getting into the bed with someone to whom you're not married. See, people say, if you go to the world, not the Bible, and what God said we're supposed to do is go to the Bible, prove all things by the Bible. The world says if you're in love, get in the bed. God says it's not love, it's fornication. The world said, if you don't love her anymore and you love her more than her, go ahead and get in the bed. It's love. God said, no, it's adultery.
Right.
And the world says, just get with anybody you can, anytime you can, wherever you can, and it's love. And God says, no, it's whoremongering.
Yeah.
I'm going to judge all of you.
That's the truth. Right.
And so you have a nation. Don't get angry with me yet. I'll give you, we'll get to that later. You have a nation full of people who are depressed, suicidal, drug addicted, living in the woods, a nation full of murder and assault and rape and confusion and messed up kids, and nobody ever thinks for a minute it could be the judgment of God upon all their sexual immorality. And God said, I look down on a city and I see all these people lying together like animals. When I made them superior to animals,
amen,
I'm going to judge them for that.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I preach like I preach, and you're shocked because hardly anybody else will, and the reason your youth pastor and your Sunday school teachers and your deacons support and endorse this preaching is we don't want God to judge you.
Amen.
We want God to bless you. We don't want you to spend your life doing the best you can do under the consequences. We want you to spend your life doing the best you could possibly have done under the blessing of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And whatever you did before you got saved, Jesus paid for it and washed it away with His blood. And you still get judged for it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Look, if you got saved after two marriages and you're paying double alimony and you got five kids, grown adult kids that won't speak to you, Jesus forgave all your sins.
Yes, sir.
But your ex-wives are waiting for their payment.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And your five kids still aren't coming to see you on your birthday. That's what people don't get.
Yeah,
so we're not trying to make you feel bad. And people say, don't judge me. I'm not the judge.
Amen.
I'm telling you how to avoid facing the judge.
Amen.
Stay pure, Ephesians 5.
Yes,
stay clean, Ephesians 5.
Amen.
Get married, Ephesians 5. Treat one another properly, Ephesians 5. And be content to be with that person your entire life.
Amen.
And stop looking for other people, real or imaginary. Praise the Lord. All right. So, and the reason I have to say that because when I read verse 22, here's our passage, here's where we start tonight. Wives. And when I say wives, I don't mean partners.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't mean who you're living with.
Go ahead.
And I don't mean someone who is a man that you call. We're talking about God made a man and God made a woman. And this woman married this man, and now she's his wife.
Amen.
And he's her husband, and that's who we're talking to.
Amen.
Wives, submit yourselves. Your husband shouldn't have to make you do it.
Amen.
The preacher shouldn't have to make you do it. Christ wasn't made to go to the cross for you. He submitted himself to the will of the Father for our benefit. That's what we saw this morning. So, what the Bible asks you to do is submit yourself to the will of the Father for the benefit of your husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Well, I just don't believe in submission. Then how do you keep a job? How come you haven't been thrown out of the homeowners association? People, when I hear women, ladies who say, "I'm saved, but I don't believe I have to," I don't agree with this submission thing. Yes, you do. When it says you can't park here, you don't park there. When it says you have to buy this, you can't just steal it and walk out of the store. You pay for it. There's a spiritual problem. When we could submit everywhere, but the place where God specifically told us to submit.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to submit. Yeah, you do. Sure you do. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that's the key. If you need help, maybe all of you aren't married to perfect husbands. A lot of ladies in here, this is easy because they're married to perfect husbands. But for the few of you who are not married to perfect husbands, here's what God said. When you look at him, look right through him and see me. Look right over his shoulder and right past him. And because here's why I said, it's not your husband that came up with this idea. It's the Lord that came up with this idea.
Yes, sir.
The Lord that hung on the cross and shed his blood so you could have everlasting life and the best possible life on earth said, with your best interest in mind, this is what I'm asking you to do.
Amen.
Now, if you stay with us the next few months, we can prove to you why it's in your best interest to do that, but we got to start somewhere, and this is where we're starting. Four. The husband is the head of the wife. Well, I don't think that's so. Well, some people don't think Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Right.
It doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
Some people think Jesus Christ, not God manifest in the flesh. That doesn't change anything.
Right.
Some people don't believe that if you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you from your sins. That doesn't change anything. See, here's my problem. My problem is not believing the Bible, it's believing all the Bible. And if you ever have a problem, it won't be not believing the Bible, it'll be not believing all the Bible. So when I say, God gave man dominion over the beast, yeah! We all like that. And God made the man the head of the house. And the men go, mm-hmm. And the women go, no way. Well, did God get stupid between Genesis and Ephesians? Did God suddenly turn against you between the time he saved you and the time he wrote this epistle? I need to trust the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is, this is one of those really neat things God does in the Bible. And he is the Savior of the body, which he? Which body? What is Jesus Christ? He is the protector of his church. He's the provider for his church. And he's the leader for his church. Now, sir, we'll get to you in a minute. The Lord said, verse 15, not to be a fool. Verse 17, not to be unwise. So it's not, God couldn't possibly be saying women are foolish and women are unwise. But then he said verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now here's where we are. We are standing tonight, ladies, every one of you is standing tonight underneath a tree while a serpent says to you, God's just trying to keep you down. Why can't you eat that fruit? It is the same subtle suggestion to your heart. The serpent tempted Adam's wife by suggesting God was keeping the best from her. Now, you know, you got it made. I mean, perfect garden, perfect paradise, perfect creation, dominion over everything. You have got it made. And then the serpent came along and said, yeah, but you could have it even better if you just do what God asked you not to do. He hasn't changed tactics. Ever. Ever, never, ever has he changed tactics. So my call, my challenge, every time I hear an instruction from the Bible, my challenge is, am I going to believe God? Or am I going to believe my college professor or my internet influencer or, worst of all, myself? He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. I'll stop there just for a second. In everything. Now, here's where it gets tough. And long about June, July, we'll zero in on this. But here's the problem. Dad's supposed to be the head of the house, and Dad's not subject to Jesus Christ or the Word of God. And Mom's supposed to be training the children, but Mom isn't subject to Jesus Christ or the Word of God. And people go to church, and the church, most of them, pretty much don't do anything the way Jesus Christ asked it to be done. And so when all of the examples in your life growing up of people who are supposed to be representing God in a place of authority misrepresented Him, you get the idea that it's okay to just say I'm following the Lord when I'm not. It's okay to say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ when my feet never go in His footprints. If your church is not biblical when it's supposed to be subject to Christ, how would you expect the ladies in that church to believe it's to their benefit to obey the Word of God when the church leadership doesn't obey the Word of God? And every now and then we have situations, and what people want us to do is deal with them emotionally and deal with them based on how it makes everyone feel. That's how you end up with busted up marriages. Because you're teaching that the Bible is the Word of God and we live by the Bible until it gets uncomfortable. Until we got to work through something and get it right. And so what does the modern church do? They just say, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you half a verse and then tell you you're great. Just do your own thing, your own way. Jesus loves you. And I love you more. You know what God said? That's unclean.
Yeah.
You know what God said? That's foolish.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what God said? Here's the way of life. Why don't you walk in it?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so it's really tough if you grow up in a church that makes excuses for not being biblical. If you had a dad who went to church and pretended to be a Christian, came home and acted like he wasn't. If you had a mother that pretended to be a Christian and then came home and act like she wasn't. I can see why you'd have a hard time wrapping your mind around what God's asking you to do here. But the church is supposed to be subject to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As an example to, and as a place of training and instruction for the wives to be able to say, you know what? Our church goes by the Bible. And God really blesses it. If I went by the Bible, maybe God would really bless me. That's how it's supposed to go. That's why the Bible gives you, and we'll get to this, this whole list of things that older Christian ladies are supposed to teach the girls and older Christian men are supposed to teach the boys, so somebody can say, we did this the Bible way and our lives are great. Trust us. The Word of God works. You got a whole nation falling apart because from the top to the bottom, from the head to the toe, everybody's in rebellion against the Word of God. And so it's hard for people to trust the Word of God.
Yeah.
All right, 25. Husbands, love half-dressed women on TV. Husbands, love undressed women on the internet. Husbands, love the women you work with. Husbands, love anybody passing by that gives you a smile. How about love your wives?
Amen.
How about instead of saying, you got to submit to me, how about do everything in your power to convince you you have no intention of ever being an adulterer or a whoremonger? Honey, you can trust me today, you can trust me forever, and I'm not going to do anything to undermine that trust. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't go to any of those places. I don't look at any of that stuff. Okay. You talk to her at home the way you talk to the other women at church? Shut up, get in the car. Come on, hurry up. We're going to be late. Get the stuff. Get out of the car. Come on. Get in there. Hi, sis. Good to see you this morning. Hey, sis. How you doing?
Don't breathe.
A little of that goes a long way, but a lot of that ain't going anywhere. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And here the men step in, just like the women. The women say, I don't have to submit to him because he isn't righteous. He isn't right with God. And then the man steps in and says, well, I don't have to love her, lay down my life for her like Christ laid down his life for the church because she's rebellious and disobedient. I mean, like the church. Well, she doesn't do anything. Everything she's supposed to do, like us. Christ's love for his church is not conditioned on our merit and our obedience and our hitting the mark. It's from his heart. We glory. It's grace. It's mercy. I don't deserve any of this. And then we make everybody in our life deserve it, or they don't get it. That's not Christian love. That's a business agreement. You work 6 hours for me, I'll give you $100. You're nice to me, I'll be civil this evening. On your worst day, Jesus Christ has been good to you. Your worst week or month or year, Jesus Christ has been good to you. And so the Lord says, husband, love your wives. He was Christ. Also loved the church and gave himself for it.
I tell you, you know, she always wanted to buy stuff and go shopping and this and that.
Well, you didn't object to it when you were trying to get her to say yes. I mean, the short version could be, how come we never go out anymore? We're married. How can you never buy me anything? We're married. Well, you faked her out then. She thought you wanted to go places with her and spend money on her. You just wanted a wife.
Oh.
All know what Christ did? He gave himself for the church, and man, did it ever cost him. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, then his church is not yet fully sanctified, is that right? His church is not as clean as it ought to be, is that right? His church, now here's what we say, but God, I'm not everything I ought to be, and I sure mess up a lot, but I'm glad God loves me anyway. And then we go home and say, you messed up. You're not everything you're supposed to be. That's not how Christ loves you.
Right.
We're supposed to be walking in his steps. Your wife shouldn't have to earn your love any more than you earn God's love. Mm-hmm. Then he might present it to himself. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that should be holy and without blemish. Now, I'm not going to get into any of that except one little thing tonight that I just want to touch on. That he might present it to himself. There's a lot of adults who really resent the parents who raised them to be showpieces. Sir, you shouldn't be concerned with your wife being a public display. You should be concerned with her knowing that you're pleased with her for you. Christ is doing all this for his church, not so he can one day present us to the world, not so he can one day present us to the nations, not so he can one day present us to the other gods, but so he can present us to him, to himself. Amen. To himself. What's the Lord saying? It's in your best interest to love your wife. That will return to you. And if all you're doing is using your wife and lording over your wife, day may come when you got nothing. No return on that investment. Amen. So ought men to love their wives, here we go, as their own bodies.
Well, I just don't know how to love anybody.
Yeah, you do. You.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm thirsty. Can we stop? No, I'm in a hurry. Honey, why are we stopping? I'm thirsty. Honey, can I buy something? My old one's just not working that good. No, we don't need it. Make do with it. What's this came in the Amazon truck today? Oh, I ordered a new one for me.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you just need to figure out how to treat your spouse, just figure out how you treat you.
Yeah.
How you treat your parents? How do you want them to treat you? How you treat your friends, how you want them to treat you. Not how they treat you, how you want them to treat you. Yourself. So, well, we know how to love self. No man ever yet hate his own flesh. I'm sorry, verse 28. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Common sense, guys. Even the world knows it. The world says, happy wife, happy life. Right? Well, that's up north. Down south, they say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. They're both true, just a different way of looking at it. What's the Lord saying? Sister, if you would trust me, it would be best for you.
Yes.
Brother, if you would trust me, it would be best for you.
Yes, sir.
It's interesting. The Lord says to the woman, He's the head. But he never says to the man, you're the head. He says to the man, love her.
Yeah.
Don't tell her you're the boss. Don't remind her you're in charge. Love her.
Yeah.
I've had, believe it or not, before I started doing this full time, I've actually had real jobs in my life. I never loved any of my bosses. I just went to work because I needed the money. And probably nobody here loves their boss other than, well, Brother David used to, but now it's, you know, kind of a... he got promoted, so it's just... You want your wife to love you? Stop being her boss. And love her. Never thought of that. Well, that's why we're here. That's why we're here today. All right. So, no man ever yet hate his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. If your flesh is hurting, you pay attention to it. If your flesh is breaking down, you try to get it healed up. If your flesh is lacking something, you try to provide for it what it lacks. So all God said, just treat her like he treats you. Pretty simple. Even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now here's where it gets... He's taking us now out of practical and into something spiritual. Is she your wife?
Yes, sir.
But she's God's child purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You might want to be careful. How you treat God's child purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Is he your husband? Yeah, but he's also God's child purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You might want to be careful how you treat God's child purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Well, God, I married that woman. Jesus said, I bled on a cross for that woman. Well, you just don't understand. I just do all this stuff for this man, and I expect to be treated well. And Jesus says, what did I do for you?
Yeah.
So just remember that, it's a Christian marriage. That means the person you're married to belongs to Christ. Mm-hmm. We are members of the body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause, should a man leave his father and mother? We're going to do this too this summer. We're going to do all this, you know, how to choose a spouse and how to be ready to be married and all that. Well, here's a good one right here. If you left father and mother and went broke, then you ain't ready to get married. Because you got to be able to leave your father and mother, not move her in. I've wanted to do this for years, and nobody's ever taken me up on it. We have this thing where the man gives the woman away to be married. A lot of these situations, we didn't have the mom give up the groom. Years and years ago, you wouldn't know these people. Years and years ago, we had this marriage in trouble, and I sat with them. I said, what's the problem here? And she said, every night on the way home from work, he stops and eats at his mother's house because he doesn't like my cooking. And I gave her a cookbook. No, I didn't. I called his mother and said, is that true? And she said, yes. I said, break the plate and change the locks and send that boy home for supper. And she was the first in nearly 40 years of women who came to hate the Bible Baptist Church. If you don't want to leave mom, stay with mom. Because if you don't want to leave mom, but you want to get married, it makes me think you want something besides marriage.
Yeah.
And that's not a marriage.
Amen.
What do you mean? If I have to tell you, I ain't telling you. Leave his father and mother and should be joined, shall be, future tense. Today and tomorrow and a week from now and a month from now, till death do us part, shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be, going on into the future, shall be one flesh. So here's what we're going to tell you. We're going to teach you this summer. It's not a trial run.
Amen.
It's not a let's see if we like it. If we don't like it, we'll try something else. For you make that commitment and vow a vow, Ecclesiastes, before God. The Lord says, you're going to be one flesh.
Yes,
and you're going to be joined to your wife. So, young lady, make sure. Make sure. I'm signing up for the long haul.
Yes, sir.
Young man, you sign up for the long haul.
Yes, sir.
My wife's told young ladies for 40 plus years, don't marry somebody you have to justify.
Amen.
Don't settle.
Amen.
If you're making excuses for him, why would you do that? Well, I need a car. What, how about this one? Well, the engine doesn't work. But, you know, other than that, it's a good car. I ain't buying that car. Well, he's really handsome and he really says he loves me. He doesn't work. He said if we got married, we'd get a job. Anyway. 32. This is a great mystery. Boy, isn't it ever. A man loving his wife and a woman submitting to her husband. Wow. That's mysterious. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. What wording? You know why that wording is there? Because God knew that for century after century after century, preachers would sit at a desk with an open Bible and look at exactly what God said to husbands, and the man would say, that doesn't apply to me because my circumstance is different. And the woman would say, that doesn't apply to me. You don't understand who I'm married to. And you know what God said? Let every one of you in particular, I'm talking to you. Every one of you. You know what works for everybody on the face of the earth? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried the third day, rose again. You know what works for everybody on the entire earth? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You know what works for everybody in the whole wide world? Do what God asks you to do as a friend, as a father, as a mother, as a pastor, as a church member, as a husband, as a wife. It will work. We just trust God enough to believe Him. We go through this process again throughout the course of our life. Unhappy, not contented, things aren't going well. Somebody gives me the gospel. I don't know if I believe that. Unhappy, discontented, things not going well. Somebody pleads with me to get saved. Unhappy, discontented, things not going well. Someone finally decides, I'm going to trust Jesus and see what happens. He saves their soul. He changes their life. And they say, why did I wait so long to trust the Lord? And from that point on, they go to church. Varying levels of unhappiness, discontentment, things aren't going well. And the preacher opens the Bible and says, well, this is what you do. I don't know. This is what you do. I don't know if I agree with that. And finally, when we just agree with God and do what He asks, we say the same thing every time. I wish I'd have done that sooner.
Amen.
We just need to apply the same principle that we applied when we got saved, finally, to obeying God,
amen.
Finally.
Yeah.
That all these things are for us, none of them are against us. So, nevertheless, that every one of you in particular shall love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. go home. Good evening, Reverend. <It's> like, you know what reverence means? It means to revere, to hold in high esteem, to look up to. Here's what we're going to try and do. We're going to try to teach you men to be someone worthy of being looked up to and held in high esteem. But here's what else we're going to do. We're going to try to teach you ladies to stop holding everyone but your husband in high esteem. It used to be, I am getting so old, I say that all the time, but it used to be that when someone was in rebellion against the Word of God, didn't want to live by the Bible, and they either left or were compelled to leave a church, they were gone. They were out of the church. But now they're on every phone in the church. They're on every social media connection in the church. And it used to be you just had to convince people in the church to trust the Bible and not listen to the world, as the world said, don't trust the Bible. But now you got to teach people in the church to stop listening to 50 disgruntled former church members who hate the Bible, telling, well, I love Jesus and I don't do that. Our church doesn't believe that. Our preacher doesn't preach that. You know what you got to do? You have to agree with God and revere your husband, even if 50 rebel women in your Facebook circle don't revere their husbands.
Yeah.
And you guys got to love your wives regardless of how much garbage you watch and listen to on that internet that tells you you don't want to be tied down to the old lady.
Yeah.
More Bible.
Amen.
Less Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
More Bible. Less social media.
Amen.
Be easier to agree with God. And be quicker to get to that place where your home is a happy place that God wants it to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's really not that hard. Really not that hard. Right attitude? It's not that hard. I've observed, and so have you, the things you want to do are easy. I don't mean it's easy to do them well. I mean, if you really want to be a musician, it's not a burden to practice music. If you really want to be a ball player, it's not a burden to practice playing ball. If you really want to make money, it's not a burden to try and better yourself financially. If you really want to have a good marriage, have a good home, it's not a burden, it's not a hardship, it's not a problem. It's easy to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen.